Hello and welcome to the commentary for lesson 329. We finished most of 1 Kings 22, and this completes the book of 1 Kings. There's a tiny bit left that I guess wasn't in order, and that's kind of felt, I guess they have that later within 2 Kings. So, but I'm not going to worry about that. I'm going to say that we finished 1 Kings because I really want to feel like we're gaining momentum, don't you? So the reading was a little spotty and it was short and brief, but I just kind of needed to get through it. And I think that our next lesson will be much more clear-cut storyline moving forward. So this is kind of choppy. This probably won't be a long recording, but I do want to note that, you know, we left off in the last lesson where King Ahab and Jehoshaphat were going into war, and he tricked Jehoshaphat. Well, he didn't even trick him. He just told him what to wear, the robe, which basically made Jehoshaphat a target. Anyways, Ahab ended up dying in war, and he died in such a way, and that's when we come back on the scene with today's lesson, where Ahab had just died in battle. And remember, he was propped up. I thought it was weird that he was propped up in his chariot, and there was a little bit of a different take from 1 Kings 22 to 2 Chronicles. The account of how he stayed in his chariot. I want to read about that, what Easy English says. And again, this is just someone's interpretation of that scripture. I was really confused about that. But they say that tradition says, let's see, he did not... Oh, how he got shot by the arrow. He did not have a particular purpose, but the arrow hit Ahab. At first, King Ahab left the battle. Then, however, he stayed in his chariot and he encouraged his men to attack. So it's possible that he changed his mind. Maybe you don't even remember that, but I do remember that the confusion that I had about him staying in his chariot. That evening, he died, and the Israelite soldiers were without their leader. They had to escape to their homes. Ahab's officials buried the king in Samaria, so Ahab's body had a proper grave, unlike the bodies of his descendants. So that's where we come back into the story, is he had just died. And verse 38 says, "Then his chariot was washed beside the pool of Samaria, and dogs came and licked his blood, at the palace where the prostitutes bathed, just as the Lord had promised." Now, if we go back to 1 Kings 21, verse 18, that is the prophecy that was given about his death. And I'll just read that real quick. It says, actually, I'll start back on verse 17 just to give it to you in context. "But the Lord said to Elijah, 'Go down to meet King Ahab of Israel, who rules in Samaria. He will be at Naboth's vineyard in Jezreel, claiming it for himself. Give him this message. This is what the Lord says. Wasn't it enough that you killed Naboth? Must you rob him too? Because you have done this, dogs will lick your blood at the very place where they licked the blood of Naboth.'" So, ironically, the place that this happened is the same place that it happened to the man that his wife Jezebel killed. Because of the land that they wanted. So that is, of course, fulfillment of prophecy. And then, you know, I looked all over because in verse 39, it says, "The rest of the events in Ahab's reign and everything he did, including the story of the ivory palace and the towns he built, are recorded in the book of the history of the kings of Israel." I Googled that because I feel like we've talked about this before. There are books named throughout the Bible, and they have similar names, so it's easy to think that maybe they're the same book. But I Googled the book of the history of the kings of Israel, And I really didn't get anything. I didn't get anything from Got Questions, Easy English, all the places that I normally go where I really trust. So I just did a blind Google, and I did get another title that came up. This specific title never came up in any of my searches. But there's a title that's similar that's mentioned back in 2 Chronicles 16:11. It says, the rest of the events of Asa's reign from beginning to end are recorded in the book of the kings of Judah and Israel. That one I did find on Wikipedia, which, for what it's worth, that doesn't mean we can really 100% trust the accuracy of Wikipedia, but it does identify that book, the book of the kings of Judah and Israel. And it says that it's basically a lost books of the Bible, of the Old Testament. So, it could be that those books, the reason they didn't make it to the Bible because they were separate. They weren't inspired by God. Maybe they were written by historians. That's my assumption. But I just think it's interesting that I could find nothing with this specific title, the Book of the History of the Kings of Israel. And that's a different title than the other one, which I found. So I don't know what that means, but I just wanted to let you know that I did kind of look at that and try to figure that out. And I don't know. So Ahab dies and his son, Ahaziah, he becomes king. And he rules over Israel in the 17th year of King Jehoshaphat's reign in Judah. So Israel is north, Judah is south. So Ahab's son Ahaziah is ruling in the north, Jehoshaphat's still ruling in the south. Jehoshaphat makes it home safely from war. That's where we pick up in 2 Chronicles 19. And he appoints judges. And he says, first of all, he has a conversation with Jehu, son of Hanani the seer. So he's the son of a seer. He's not a prophet. He's not a seer. He's the son of a seer. But he's angry with Jehoshaphat, and he makes a point that, hey, why are you hanging out with Ahab and his men? They're evil. They're wicked. You're a man of God. And because of what you have done, the Lord is very angry with you. But you have done some good, he says. You removed all the Asherah poles throughout the land, and you have committed yourself to seeking God. Jehoshaphat does seem to feel remorse. I mean, it doesn't say that, but you can deduct that just from his actions in this section. It really just shows us that he is repentant and correcting himself. He's working to bring himself and his people, the people in his kingdom, closer to God. And trying to make sure that they're living in obedience to God and that they consult God in all of their ways, that they have integrity. He's appointing judges, it says, and he appoints judges throughout the nation in all the fortified towns. He tells them, always think carefully before making a judgment. Remember that you do not judge to please people, but to please the Lord. And then he says in verse 7, fear the Lord and judge with integrity. So he's appointing these judges, and then he's saying, he's basically expressing how important it is to them, or to him, and to all of their people, that they remain diligent and fair and rule with integrity, because they need to stay in the obedience of the one true God. He says, for the Lord our God does not tolerate perverted justice, partiality, or taking of bribes. Okay, then he talks about how Amariah the high priest will have final say in cases involving the Lord, and Zebediah, son of Ishmael, a leader from the tribe of Judah. I was surprised to see the name Ishmael there from the tribe of Judah, because Ishmael, obviously that's a different Ishmael. But it's interesting that that name was still making its way around Judah. You remember Isaac and Ishmael were the sons of Abraham, and Ishmael was the first son, the illegitimate son of his wife Sarah's maid, maidservant. And then Sarah later conceived just as God told them she would, but they were impatient and they didn't really see how it was possible because she was really old. Anyways, you know, you probably remember the story of Isaac and Ishmael, but it just surprised me to see that name because Ishmael was not in the land of Judah, and so his descendants wouldn't have been there. And so it just is curious to me, because usually they gave their names to their sons, right? So I don't know. I didn't dig down that hole to figure that out because I don't know that I would even find anything, but just curious. That's really it. There wasn't really a whole lot of meat here, nothing to really dissect, but we did finish the book of 1 Kings for the most part. And so I'm going to read from my basic Bible pocket guide, which I like to do at the end of every book. It kind of summarizes it nicely. So this says, the theme of 1 Kings is disruption. It was written between 561 and 538 BC, author unknown, and the setting is Israel. It says, 1 Kings describes how, at the height of Israel's affluence, and influence, the tiny nation was plunged into poverty and paralysis, all because the people had turned away from God. The failure started after Solomon, David's son, stopped applying the wisdom God had granted him and turned his heart to following the false religions of his many wives. Solomon's son, Rehoboam, took bad advice from his foolish friends, advice that resulted in the split of the kingdom. Then it has life application. God has provided you with many avenues for obtaining wisdom and averting failure. Resist your inclination to accept advice with easy solutions and reject help that would require a more direct or a more difficult path. Don't bypass God's resources, which can help ensure that your decisions honor Him and bless others. In other words, godly advice will keep you from failure. So thank you, Lord, for your word, the spirit, and the wisdom of others to help me in my decision-making process. You know, they've come a long way, the Israelites, since the time of King David. King David, even though, you know, he had that little slip-up with Bathsheba and murdering her husband and all of that. But besides that, he was called a man after God's own heart. And he ruled Israel the way it should be ruled. And he knew that God gave them victory. And he included God in his plans for war. And he didn't go to war unless he had God's blessing, unless he knew that God was with them. And that's the way it should have been done. And they've come a long way. You know, Solomon started out good, but then he ended up falling to the ways of his many wives and worship their gods. And now it just seems like it's gotten progressively worse. So we have, King Ahab was no good news, and now his son is ruling. Unfortunately, it says in verse 52 of 1 Kings 22, but he did what was evil in the Lord's sight, following the example of his father and mother and the example of Jeroboam. So Ahaziah is not going to be any better than Ahab. So we'll just see how that goes. That's where we're at. And we'll close there. But I hope you all have a great day. And I will talk to you soon.